Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is the show where we talk about your life and we talk about your money. This is a show where you can call in and let me know your questions. I don't answer it based on what Chris Brown thinks. I don't answer it based on what Ramsey Solution thinks. This show is about what the Bible says, what the Bible says about money, what the Bible says about stewardship. Stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com, a website that we purchased and we pump full of amazing resources just for you to be able to access lots of free articles on there and lots of resources that you can purchase and classes that you can go to. So just check out stewardship.com and check out Chris Recommends. Feel free to call in 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283, taking your questions and taking your testimonies about what God is doing in your life through being more cognizant about stewardship. And you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our first call today comes in from South Florida. This is Rick. Rick, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call, first of all, and it's a real blessing to be able to talk to you and get some help. I'm a retired letter carrier. I got out at 51 on disability. Currently, my wife and I own two preschools, but I've had a hobby for over 20 years. That for now, it's a hobby, which is autograph and memorabilia sports collector. And my wife is always nagging on me about, you know, that I have to start selling, that I need to stop wasting money. And what I try to tell her is that I have a grand plan, a master plan, which is by the time we're both about 59 or 60, that we're ready to sell the preschools and retire for sure, is when I'm going to sell 90 to 95% of my collection, because I know I can't take it with me. I know that the Bible says to not store treasures on earth but in heaven. So I just want to know, should I? Yeah, and it is an expensive hobby. I mean, a lot of these former athletes and current athletes charge a lot for their autograph. And I go to shows around the country, and if I can't go, I mail things, my items to get signed. My question is, should I continue to invest in my sports autograph and memorabilia collection for my grand plan, you know, when I plan to retire at 59 or 60, or should I get rid of it now?
Rick, the question I'm asking, as you're talking, the question I'm asking myself is, which one of those is higher risk? The preschools that you own actually sounds like a really good plan, and that's the one that you're sounding like you want to stop, and then you want to start something that's highly risky. The memorabilia industry is one of those ones that really has some huge... I wouldn't even say huge, but it has some spikes, but it has huge drops. Whenever there's any kind of recession or fear of recession, the number one thing that people are going to cut out of their budget is going to be any kind of excess spending on memorabilia and that kind of stuff. Maybe ask another question to ask for you is, have you ever spoken with anybody about their current business in the memorabilia industry and what are they saying about the industry? I mean, have you met anybody really successful?
Well, I know that it plays a lot on eBay. I know that to get the best return on that investment, I would have to get things certified, because that's how people view whether it's legit or not. I mean, you could tell them a million times that I got it in person, but the whole point of it is to get it certified. So I know that when people get it certified or authenticated, you could at least get most of your money back. I know it's not dollar for dollar, but you get most of it back. And I know some people that have done well, you know, well in it. But like I said, mine right now is for a hobby. And then in 8 or 9 years, when we're both ready to sell the schools and retire, I plan on, like I said, because I can't take it with me, so I plan on probably selling 90 to 95% of it. The hobby is not what it used to because there's so much of things out there that, you know, it is tough, but
yeah,
some money could be made in the long run, but.
Well, you know, Rick, I think when you speak to somebody who is thrilled with the industry, who's been historically through all of the recessions and all of the dips have been successful with it, if you want to create that as a business after you've known that they're successful, then but I just don't think you're going to find that. And I think if you just listen to what you just said, and sometimes you can get dollar for dollar. That's not a good business strategy. You want to buy something for $10, you want to sell it for $100. You don't want to buy something for $100 and sell it for $100. That's not a good business strategy. Based on everything you've told me, I don't like it at all as a plan. I don't like it as an investment. It could be a fine hobby, but I'm going to have to side with your wife on this one. I don't think this is a good plan. Hobby, maybe, but especially where the world's going with the inability to be able to authenticate and be able to certify with all of the great technology and photo equipment and all that, it's going to be very, very difficult to do that in the future. So where the economy's going and where the industry's going, it seems very high risk. Next call is coming in from Baton Rouge. This is Laura. Laura, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, I'm honored.
We are currently selling our home, but the house is more than our income than we should have. Our van is, we owe $27,000. It's a 2013. We are upside down $7,000 to $10,000. We're trying to get out of it. So we had two options to sell the house. We were going to use that money with some money that I'm getting. I'm getting $6,700 given to me. And we were going to put it together and pay the van off. So then we would be done with our notes of $600 a month. I know it's crazy. But we're trying to get out of debt. So we're trying to figure out the best option in our difficult situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're negative, we can't sell. We were going to sell outright and then get a personal loan for the negative balance.
Mm-hmm.
But because of our credit taking hits, because we're just drowning financially, we can only get approved for $5,000, which may help us or may not, depending on how much we sell our van for, if that makes sense.
Right. How much do you make? What's your income?
He makes like right at $50,000 with overtime. So sometimes it comes closer to $60,000.
Okay. And are you working?
No, sir. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now.
Okay. How many kids do you have?
Two full-time, two stepchildren that are here every other weekend.
Okay. Have you toyed around with making any money from home, or is it, I'm sure it's very busy, but is there something you can do? Have you toyed around with that idea at all?
Yes, actually, just this last week, I applied for some submissions for some evening hours, and I'm actually getting some feedback. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks, I'll be working some evening hours to bring some income in.
Good, good. What are you thinking that you're going to get from the sale of the home?
We're thinking around $18,000. That's what we're pretty sure we'll be getting.
And you're going to buy a smaller home, or are you going to rent?
That's correct. We're going to rent until we can, depending on what we do, we're going to rent because we won't have a down payment or emergency fund.
Okay. All right. And okay, so I like the plan. I like the downsizing the home. If it's more than you can afford, I like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing that you're getting appreciation out of it. You're getting the equity out of it. So that's huge.
Yes.
What's your other car look like?
We only have one family car. My husband has a work truck.
Okay.
So we're not able to use that. So right now we only have the one van. Our goal long term is to eventually have something that he can drive as well.
Okay.
But not obviously not new.
That $7,000 to $10,000 loss, is that you selling private party or trading it back in?
Yes, they will not trade it in because, well, they would, but we're so negative that it would be rolled back over.
If you were to go sell at private party, what would you get?
I can get anywhere from 17,000 to 19,000.
Okay. All right. Well, I like where you're headed with this. You could downsize your home. You'll be completely debt free, and it looks like your emergency fund would be done.
So would you use all the money to pay off the van, like from the $6,700 that I'm getting and our house selling? Would you use all that money and get out of the van? Or would it be wiser for us to get out from the negative, pay the negative balance, and then sell it outright?
Well, it all depends on how much you want the van and how much you want a second car. The actual amount of the van, the fact that you have debt on it and the $600 payment, that hurts because you're not going to pay $27 for it. You're going to pay like $32 for it or $33 for it over the life of the loan. But the actual amount, $27, it's at the high end of the range. If he makes $50 with overtime, I don't like for you to have more than half your salary in cars. So if you make $50, okay. I don't like that to be over $25. Okay. So you're right at the height of it as far as appropriateness. And the cool thing about this is, that I don't really necessarily think you have to trade it in because you're losing so much. You got to make a bad decision a good one. I think you got to have this thing because it's a 2013. You seriously can drive this for an extremely long time, and it's practical. It's a van for all of you. So I think because you've already took the big loss. I think you pay off the car. And then you don't have that $600 a month payment anymore, and that $600 a month payment is going to go towards funding that emergency fund. So you're going to be completely out of debt, a downsized house, and you're going to be adding to your emergency fund at least $600 a month from here on out. So you'll be in baby step four before you know it. The big decision that you're making that's winning is the fact that you're willing to downsize your home. That's what's making the difference. And so, and then of course,
is not having any money, I'm dropping everything on the van. I think that was my whole hesitation.
Yeah. What you're doing is you're driving around in your security. Your security is wrapped up in a van. So you can't sleep at night because of how pretty that van is. So every time you see it and you see that shiny paint and you see the brand new carpet and everything's beautiful, just know that's your security. Yeah. I know our security's in God and our security's in Christ, but there's a practicality of making sure that we use wisdom and that he's given us a tool and that we have a tool. Proverbs 21:20 says, then the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And so he says, if we're wise, we've got to make sure that we're not storing up to hoard, but we've got money on hand. And so you're driving around with your money on hand. And so these decisions you're making are awesome. They're heroic. They take a lot of courage, and I applaud it.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for your help, Chris.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. You need to listen up real quick. If your parents out there and it's been tough to talk to your kids about money, you ever have trouble doing that? Or maybe you don't even have a clue where to start this conversation. That's what Smart Money Smart Kids can help you with, okay? And maybe you feel worried because your teenager will be leaving for college soon. Maybe you're in that boat. Or maybe you don't even have a clue where to start this conversation. That's what Smart Money Smart Kids can help you with, okay? It shows you how to use teachable moments to help your kids learn how to spend, how to save, how to give, how to be content, and even how to prepare for college expenses. And you'll be led through 6 practical lessons that'll show you how to teach your kids to handle money God's way. The best part is you can take Smart Money Smart Kids in a class or as a self-study at your own pace. Even if your kids are teenagers, it's never too late to teach your kids about hard work and about avoiding that 4-letter word she talks about in the book, debt. Head over to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and you'll find all the information you need to start Smart Money Smart Kids today. Or give us a call at 866-357-3283 to find out more. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And check this out. We're going to offer Smart Money Smart Kids for $59. That is a tremendous deal, and so we want to offer that to you. So take advantage of that. Again, stewardship.com. Click on Chris Recommends, and you'll find all the information you need to start Smart Money Smart Kids today. Or give us a call at 866-357-3283 to find out more. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
You can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Delaney. Says, "Hi, Chris. Thanks a ton for your podcast. It's great to have some biblical light we can apply in our everyday lives through the podcast. As a board member of a small church, I'm interested to know what you see churches do for an emergency fund. Do you see people doing the Ramsey standard, 3 to 6 months of operating expenses? Do you do a monthly every dollar budget based on tithe? We don't have any other income besides tithe, so it's pretty difficult to predict on first of the month what we will be blessed with month to month. Any insight is greatly appreciated." Definitely want to have a budget. You want to have a plan, and you want to make sure that that budget's done per year. And then you want to break it down per month based on historical data. So if you don't have any historical data, it's going to be difficult. You might want to start with straight line and then some pretty basic common sense stuff. You know, you're probably going to be down in the summer. You're going to be up in the spring and the fall, and you're probably going to be up even more around Christmas time and around tax time, where everyone's trying to get in that last minute donation. That's kind of a general rule on your budgeting. So that's the budgeting part of your question. And the emergency fund, it's how self-insured do you want to be? I think a lot of times a 3 to 6 month is a minimum, as far as I'm concerned. But if you're in an unstable environment where maybe the leadership has been in a time of transition, you might want to have more than that. If you've got this influx, or maybe just change stylistically at your church, it could be more a little high risk. You might want to get up to 9 months. But if you've been stable for a long time and you can pretty much predict things, then you want, 3 to 6 months is just fine. But 3 to 6 months is a minimum. And, when it comes to expansion for churches, I like them to have, a lot more. Now I like them to have like a year in there if you're looking to really expand and really grow. Because when that facility comes available a year from now, you want to be cash heavy. You want to be able to take advantage of those opportunities because church buildings become open all the time. So if you are you interested in expansion? If you are, you want to make sure you have more than 3 to 6 months. But if you're just planning on, you have plenty of building for a long time, no plans of expanding your facilities, then 3 to 6 months is just fine. But yeah, an every dollar budget, definitely could help. And you can do that on every dollar, or you can do that on some kind of QuickBooks, or you can do that on any kind of accounting software. But you want to make sure your whole leadership team is going over it, and you want to make sure your whole leadership team was in on the decision. So your children's ministry director got to speak into how much is going to be spent in the children's ministry. Maybe they didn't get the final decision, but they got to speak into it. Why? Because they actually know what it takes to do children's ministry. A lot of times those in senior leadership have no idea what it takes to actually run a children's ministry. So they got to work together. But great question, Delaney. Thank you so much for emailing in. Our next call comes in from Denver. This is Nick. How can I serve you?
I got a question for you. We just started our budget and our debt snowball, and we're not really able to make much over the minimum payments right now. But I got two huge payments on student loans, $317 and $298 a month, and I'm wondering if I can put those into deferment to kind of help me pay off the lower principled ones to get the snowball rolling even faster if there's any negative consequences to that.
Well, what you want to do is, what's your income?
Yearly?
Yeah.
Right around like $85,000.
Okay.
Barry.
And you can make all the payments. You can make all minimum payments, right?
Yeah, we're like just barely making all the minimum payments, yes.
Okay. So what you want to do is you want to, what we call a debt snowball. Of course, I think you're aware of that. And you want to make sure that you pay the You want to make sure you pay off the smallest balance first. So let's go ahead and list all your balances. What are the balances? Not the payment amounts.
I got $1,300 on a credit card.
Okay.
$3,000 on a credit card. $1,800 on a loan. $6,000 on a loan. And then the student loans are like $39,000 and $50,000.
Okay. And the minimum payment you're saying is $317 and $298?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, and what's your payment on the credit card?
The credit card's $30 on one and $57 on another.
Okay. So here's what you want to do. You want to make sure that you pay off that $1,300 first, and then you can nail that pretty darn fast. You can nail that with a couple extra shifts.
I'm doing everything I can to get extra money in, but...
Good. The deal is, and this we see this scenario all the time with the big student loans, It really is. Your most advantageous way to get through this is to pay off the smallest balance first. And then you rotate whatever a minimum payment on everything else, and then take the payment that you now don't have on the $1,300 credit card, and you put it towards the three towards the, or towards the $1,800, and then the $3,000, the $6,000. Yeah. So I don't like you put it, if you can make the payments, I don't like you put it in forbearance.
Okay. So, and is there a reason for the not put it in forbearance or deferment? Or I guess forbearance is the question.
Well, if there's no penalties and they're fine with it, of course, go for it. But there's penalties and fees and a bunch of strings tied to it, then I don't like it.
Okay.
You want to avoid all fees, because the bottom line is what you're doing with a fee is you're purchasing. A fee is what you're purchasing a convenience. You're purchasing a delay. And right now, you're not in the – you can't purchase luxuries. You can't purchase things that you can't afford. So whether it happens to be going to a restaurant or it happens to be some kind of change in your contract, you can't afford a change in your contract. You got to do you can't be spending any money you don't have. And so I don't like the fees.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah. I'm not going to sign up for anything with no fees, but all right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. Next call is from Indianapolis. This is Ben calling. Ben, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm good. Pleasure to be on your show. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm better every day.
Oh, praise God.
How can I serve you?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm a 56-year-old. I'm not a college-educated man, and I work for a nonprofit ministry, so I don't have the salary a lot of people have. And I currently have a home equity loan on an adjustable rate, and I'm thinking interest rates could rise soon, so I'm going to get ready to close on a fixed-rate mortgage. And I've been told by the bank and some of my friends and people that do better than I do that I should take some large credit card debt I got and put on that loan too. And I'm just wondering, in your professional opinion, if that's a good idea.
I would like to keep consumer debt and mortgage debt separate. And so I don't like that idea at all. I like getting very, very aggressive and paying off that $22,000 so it's not in your life in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. I hate to put it on a mortgage, too, but I don't have a lot of extra income. Most months, you really have a hard time making it, and it would free up cash with a lower payment, too, but it would also put my home at risk of something unpredictable that ever happened with more debt on my home.
Yeah, it would, and it actually put you into a 15 or 30-year amortization, which means that $22,000, you'd probably end up paying $30,000 or $40,000 on that same 22, because it would just be sitting there forever, for a long time. But if you keep it separate, it's going to drive you bananas, and you're going to pay it off in 2 or 3 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't like attaching it to the mortgage at all, okay?
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to know. I've been advised out of work, but I just knew you were good advice, and just thought I'd ask her.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're just looking at simply at interest rate only. So they're looking at, let's say, 9% versus 3% or 11% versus 3%, and they're just making it on that. But what they're not taking into consideration is all that interest you're going to pay for time, over 15, 30 years. Hopefully, again, it's a 15-year mortgage. But you can't just make a decision in a vacuum just looking at interest rate only.
Right.
Okay?
15.
The way you're going to win in finances is if you're just uber intense, and that $22,000 makes you mad, and you pay it off. That's the fastest way to get it out of your life.
All right.
Ben, we appreciate the call.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Well, it's been a great show. That's it for today. Bob, our producer, and Amanda, our amazing associate producer, are telling me that we are all done for the day. Make sure you're checking out stewardship.com. Make sure you're taking advantage of the Smart Money, Smart Kids deal there at stewardship.com under Chris Recommends. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.